Now in the message tonight, I'd like to use that word power in many of the verses we will look at. Perhaps you're all acquainted, most at least, with the Word of God. And the Word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Yes, your heart. God knows what's going on there. And He's given us the Word. He's given us something that's powerful, that's living. As Peter says to Christians, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever, forever. That's the Word we have. It's living. It's powerful. And Paul could say, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to every one that believeth. You're one person. Do you believe it? People are not ashamed of power. They respect it. Perhaps in the nations today, were there more a demonstration of power, there would be more respect for the government. One is quite sure of this. Power. Men naturally understand something about power. Power. You know, when I was just a young fella, one of my first jobs, I was equipped with 1 horsepower. It was 1 horse. 1 horse. And I wasn't ashamed of that horse. In fact, I was rather proud of it. And I liked to ride that horse, just carrying water. I was just a water boy. Well, it was kind of fun. And I had a race one day, and I was glad to win it. That was a good horse. 1 horsepower. A little later on, my dad gave me 2 horses to drive. Then I had 2 horsepower following a walking plow. As I grew up, I drove a team of 3 horses. 3 horsepower. I still wasn't ashamed of it. That was a good team. I turned many a furrow with them. And I got as far as driving 4 horses. By that time, I was getting a little tired of working. And wasn't quite so proud of it. Yet I wasn't ashamed of horsepower. And men still use that term, don't they? And the young fellows can talk about the engines they got under that hood. They do describe it in CCs. I don't quite understand that. I understand horsepower a little better. And some of these machines have lots of power. And the more power they have, the better the fellows like them. I was interested in hearing from a young brother, I expect he's here tonight, who was in the aircraft industry a few years ago. And he said he went over to Tennessee. I know the place quite well. And they have a tremendous wind tunnel there where they design and test their aircraft. And he told me, perhaps he might correct me after the meeting, I may not remember exactly, but it seems to me he said that to drive the wind through that tunnel to test the aircraft, they used 213 horsepower. And they have to do it in the dark hours of the night when the rest of the lines are not so loaded with light bulbs and other things like that. 213,000 horsepower. Why, if I'd have been driving a team that long, it would have reached from here to Denver, I expect. That's power. Power. Well, what about God's power? You know, it says in the 8th Psalm, the heavens are the work of his fingers. That's power, isn't it? He just used his fingers, made the heavens. What about salvation? Took a little more power, didn't it? Let's just look at Isaiah 59. For a verse about that, some of these verses I can't remember very well, but I'm pretty sure it's still in here. You remember the question, no doubt, in the first verse of Isaiah 53, which says, "Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed?" Now this statement in Isaiah 59, 16, "And he saw that there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore his arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness, it sustained him." Yes, dear friend, when it came to salvation, God had to lay bare his holy arm. But for those of us who are saved, there are still things that are more comforting concerning this power. You remember in Luke, that lovely chapter of the threefold parable, where it says that this shepherd had lost one sheep, and he went to seek it. And what did he do when he found it? He laid it on his shoulders, the place of strength, on both of them. There was the power of God to secure, to give safety. Oh, dear friend, if you trust in Jesus, if you have him for your Savior, he'll take you all the way home, safe and secure. The power of God. We're not ashamed of it. It says, "He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord." And then it says, "God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ." These are two things that we can boast in, glory in. The Lord and his cross. Oh, the power, the wonderful power of God that has been displayed to work out the plan of salvation to save poor, lost, guilty sinners. Now there's another power I want to read about, which to me, in all the Scripture, is the greatest power that has ever been exercised or ever will be, in Ephesians chapter 1. It's described in magnificent language. Verses 19 and 20 of Ephesians 1 say this: "What is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, which according to the working of his mighty power," according to the working of his mighty power, it says, "which he wrought in Christ, when he raised him from the dead, and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places." Think of God's power to raise up his own son It says, the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe. Do you believe you can be associated with Christ in this power which has raised him up and seated him at his own right hand in heavenly places? Now, we will turn to Luke's Gospel and chapter 5 for another verse concerning power. Luke 5 and verse 16. Jesus withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. And it came to pass on a certain day as he was teaching that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. I wonder if there's a doctor of the law here tonight. I wonder if there's anyone who has a title behind their name. A doctor of philosophy or whatever it might be. I don't suppose anyone here would admit to being a Pharisee. Too many of us look with scorn on that class of persons. And the Lord called them hypocrites. But the Lord calls it like it is. One fears that there might be some imposters in this room. Pretenders. Pretending to be Christians. Enjoying the fellowship of Christians. And not real. What does it say here? On a certain day, as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Dear friend, the power of the Lord's present here tonight, too, to heal you from your sin sickness. You know, it's quite remarkable in this portion. It talks about healing of different sicknesses before this and afterward. And it says about these Pharisees and doctors of the law that the power of the Lord was present to heal them, but it doesn't talk about any sickness. I don't notice it. Perhaps it's intended that way. We're all sick with sin by nature. And you don't have to have a title after your name to be dead in trespasses and sins, to need the healing, the cleansing power of the blood of the Lamb. Dear friend, you need it. Unless you've already had it, you sorely need this cleansing power, this salvation, which the same Jesus is here by his word to offer to you tonight. Power. Oh, it takes power to save a soul. But it's present. The Lord has finished all the work. The price is paid. The work is done. And God has sent his Spirit. Oh, the power of the Spirit of God is here. And the power of the Word of the God is here. And souls are going to be saved. We can depend upon it. The last one has not been saved. Have you been saved? Have you been to Jesus yet for that cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Oh, this is serious. Thank God, many of us have. But it's personal. It's individual salvation between you and God. And you, dear friend, I want to make this statement, and perhaps many times yet tonight. that you shall be forever and forever a witness of the power of God in one way or another. What are those two ways? Just two. The power of God to save, or the power of God to judge. It's determined. There's nothing else. You and I, everyone, shall be forever and forever that kind of an example, that kind of a testimony to the power of God to save or to judge. We'll see more about this. Are you saved? Oh, dear friend, what about the future? Are you interested in it? God is interested in your future and in mine. And you know God doesn't want to judge. He speaks of it as his strange work. It is strange for God to have to judge when he's offering freely all the wonders of the most magnificent salvation that's possible for him to even design. Free. And he wants you to take it. And I want you to take it. And your dear friends want you to take it, that are saved. Why aren't you saved? If you're not saved, why are you not saved? Why are you not going to be an example to the power of God to save? Why are you waiting to be an example of the power of God to judge? Don't do that. Well, if you're still in that state, it's your will, not God's. The power of the Lord was present to heal them. We can't say this about tomorrow because we don't know. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, my friend, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Yesterday morning, we got in the car to come down here to the meetings. We thought we were in time, to arrive in time. And we were coming over here toward the end of one of these freeways. I don't know the name of it. But just in front of us, perhaps no farther away than that wall down there, we were looking ahead, and that car ran straight into that wall, going full speed. It's right where the detour comes off, that freeway over there. Evidently, the young man had gone to sleep. We were just watching the whole thing. That car crashed right into that concrete retaining wall on a kind of a glancing angle. Jumped up in the air, we could see under 2 or 3 feet. Came down with a terrible thud, bounced across the lanes of traffic, and hit the dirt wall on the other side, and reared up and almost laid over, and then settled back in a cloud of dust. All quiet, all quiet. Oh, we were trembling. The first car along, we stopped. Neil got out and ran out the door. We saw one head rise up behind the wheel. And he couldn't get the door open, but Neil yanked on the door, and it almost fell off when he got it open. Well, mercifully, that young man walked out of that car. The car, total demolished wreck. And what could you say to that man? Well, one could just say, my friend, God is merciful to you. God wants to save you, surely. Well, he shook his head a little bit, walked around and looked at his car. He had one more day, at least two more days perhaps, I don't know. But he had one more opportunity. Sometimes it doesn't turn out that way. We don't know about tomorrow. Not for myself, nor for you as to opportunities. But the power of the Lord is present tonight to heal you from your sins. Let's go on down in this chapter. And just notice the following verses. Perhaps we'll read them. Verse 18, Luke 5:18. And behold, men brought in a bed a man which was taken with a palsy. And they sought means to bring him in and to lay him, before Jesus. And when they could not find out what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went upon the housetop and let him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. And when he saw their faith, he said unto him, Man, thy sins are forgiven thee. And the scribes and Pharisees began to reason, saying, Who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? But when Jesus, perceiving their thoughts, he answering said unto them, What reason ye in your hearts? Whether it is easier to say, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Rise up and walk. But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he said unto the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, Arise, and take up thy couch, and go into thy house. And immediately he rose up before them, and took up that whereon he lay, departing to his own house, glorifying God. And they were all amazed. And they glorified God and were filled with fear, saying, We have seen strange things today. Well, here's a mighty miracle, isn't it? I used to wonder about this, how they could ever get up on the roof of the house and break it up and let a man down before Jesus. Until I got into some of those villages in Latin America and could see how frail some of the southern houses are made. Well, it was faith that did that. And the point here, the special point I'd like to make, is about power on earth. Here at that time, the Lord Jesus was there personally. And they were right in their statement, Who can forgive sins but God alone? Rather, it's a question. Well, no one else can do that. But Jesus is God. And he can forgive sins. And he wants to forgive yours tonight, too. It's faith that gets the victory. The simple faith. Even the faith of a child. It's wonderful, the faith of a child. Perhaps there are children here tonight who have not yet thought about this. You don't have to be very old to understand your parents and to obey them, to believe them. And you don't have to be very old to understand the clear message of Jesus, who loves the little children and says, Let them come to me. Yes, he wants the little children. He wants to save them. And they can believe the words of the Lord Jesus just like they believe their parents and have their sins forgiven too. Well, who can forgive sins but God alone? And God, as we remarked, was there in the person of Jesus to forgive sins. But he says, it says here in verse 24, The Lord Jesus, that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power upon earth to forgive sins. This is the point we'd like to stress tonight, dear friends. It's only upon earth. Oh, I want to say this reverently concerning the Lord Jesus himself. If you pass from this earth without your sins forgiven, not even the Lord Jesus can forgive your sins. The gulf is fixed. It's while you're upon earth, while you're here. Suppose you would be involved in a crash like that young man yesterday morning and didn't come out of it as well as he did. You may be called from this earth soon. We all may be who belong to the Lord Jesus. That's another reason. You're not going to be left here forever. Thank God the Christians aren't either. We've got something better. But our destiny is settled down here, not afterwards. The Son of Man hath power upon earth to forgive sins. That power belongs to him. And it's now. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. No promise of tomorrow like we were saying. And there's only one Savior. There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Only God's Savior, that precious Lord Jesus. Wouldn't you accept him? You know, it's just that way. We've been talking about power. We've been talking about the power to save and the power to judge. Why aren't all people saved then if there's such power? You remember the case of the young man, most here perhaps do, who came to Jesus and he was troubled about his brother. He said to the Lord Jesus, "Speak to my brother. Speak to my brother." You want the Lord to speak to your brother? He wanted him to speak to him about dividing the inheritance. He was thinking about something good down here. He was wanting the Lord to be a judge. Do you want the Lord to be a judge? Oh, the Lord doesn't want to be a judge yet. He really doesn't ever want to be, but he's going to be. Oh, no, he's not dealing that way now. It's all in grace. And the work is all done. And salvation doesn't cost anybody anything, but it costs the Lord an infinite price. And it's all paid. And it can be had only by receiving, by taking, by accepting. You can't work for it. We're not selling anything tonight. We haven't got anything to sell. But we're offering because God is offering. Free and full salvation through faith in the Lord Jesus. We're all lost by nature. And we need to be saved. Dead in trespasses and sin. God tested man for many, many years, centuries. As to what was in here, in the first man, to prove that we could not better ourselves. We could not keep the law, as we have been reminded. No, we can only be condemned by it. So, God has done it all. He's not asking anything tonight. He's not requiring anything from you. He's wanting to give it to you, to turn it over to you. Will you accept that salvation tonight? I'm thankful that in the past year, down in the Dominican Republic, I've heard of two old men that got saved. If you've still got life, you can still be saved. There's still opportunity. It's rather rare. But the Lord says in His Word, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not. There are many young folks here tonight, and God is speaking to you. Indeed, it's not a question of age. It's a question of need. And it's a question of the goodness of God. He wants you to be saved, as we've said. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance and to the knowledge of the truth as well. You can have it tonight. Now we'll turn to another scripture in the 28th of Matthew. We've already referred to this in our meetings, those of us who are here, but I'll just read it. The closing verses of Matthew speak about the one who has power. Beginning with verse 18, at the end of Matthew, Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Oh, isn't it wonderful that the Lord Jesus has all this power? He has gone up to heaven. He has it there. He has it in the earth. Now I want to turn to the 12th of Luke and read a couple of verses in the 12th of Luke and the 4th verse of Luke 12. I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no power more that they can do. But I will forewarn you whom ye shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. This is not the devil, as some have taught. It's God. After death, the devil has no more power over us. His power is gone. It's God. It's God with whom you have to do. Every man shall give account of himself to God. You and I. Do you fear God? Where are you going to be for all eternity? We're speaking about power, but we're speaking about eternity as well. And I want to remind you once again that you shall be forever, forever. A testimony of the power of God to save or to judge. Now, I can't change that for you. It's a joy to tell you how you can change if you're not saved yet. You can be now. The power of the Lord is present to save, to heal tonight. You're yet on the earth. You can make this decision for yourself. God has put it that way. God is sovereign, but man is responsible. And you're responsible. And you're more and more responsible the more you hear this message. The decision is yours. It's individual, personal. The father can't be saved for the child, nor the child for the parents. The husband for the wife, nor the wife for the husband. It's between you and God. Every man shall give an account of himself to God. Now or later. When are you going to give that account? Won't you accept Jesus? He wants you to. He's paid the price. God is love, but God is light. God wants you. Oh, yes, He wants you. Oh, He loves you so much. He's held back judgment. He's still waiting. We don't expect Him to wait much longer. What about? Do you fear God? Fear Him. which after he hath killed, hath power to cast them to hell. My friends, oh, people are being killed in the wars. That situation over in Lebanon, Syria, difficult, terrible. Civil war. Various other places. Men killing men. Well, that's bad enough. But what about the hereafter? What about it, dear friends? Oh, this is something serious. You need to think about these things. You need to make a decision. Won't you decide for life? Won't you choose that? Won't you choose eternal blessing? Eternal life? We've had joyful ministry about that eternal life that God gives. And he wants to give it to you tonight. Dear friend, here, yet in your sins, you can have them all forgiven, all washed away. The work is done. The invitation's given out. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power cast into hell. Now we'll turn to Romans chapter 9, beginning with the 17th verse. Romans 9:17, for the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will he hardeneth. Thou wilt say then unto me, why doth he yet find fault? For who hath resisted his will? Nay, but O man, who art thou that repliest unto God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction? We remark that you and I, every one of us, shall be forever a testimony to the power of God, either to save or to judge. We have here about poor Pharaoh. What was his history? He hardened his heart. Oh, dear friend, don't harden your heart. Don't harden your heart to this message. Perhaps you heard it last night and the night before, and your heart's not yet reached. You haven't yet decided. You haven't yet accepted Christ. You're not yet saved. Your heart's yet hardened. Oh, don't do that. We implore you. Don't harden your heart. It's so serious. First, Pharaoh hardened his heart. Then God hardened. That's what happened with Pharaoh. That's what happened with Pharaoh. Where is he? Where will he be forever? Oh, the judgment of God. The power of God to judge. That's what poor Pharaoh is. Could there be one in this hall tonight that will be that kind of a testimony forever? Oh, we trust not. Don't wait. This is serious. This is the last meeting of a series of precious meetings. In that way, it assumes a very special character. It's the last meeting. They don't plan to preach the gospel here tomorrow night, even if we're here. Oh, how fitting that the last message should be in the gospel. It's of the utmost importance. Dear friend, are you saved? Is your heart hardened? Don't do it. Man's responsible. Nay, but O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? Are you talking to God like that? You're in danger. You're in danger of the judgment of God. Time is short. Those words appear in the Bible. Time is short. One is thought that if you take a ballpoint pen and just make a little period, like you find at the end of these sentences, and compare that to all the space that you and I can see and know that's beyond what we see, that time is less than that compared to eternity. We cannot measure eternity. Are you looking for a little pleasure of sin for a season? Which master are you serving? We've been reminded there are only two to serve. Do you enjoy serving Satan? What about his wages? You think you'd like them? Are you the slave of sin? What's the wages of sin? What is it? You know, death. Death. Not just death as we think of it. Banishment from God. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Fear him. But, dear friend, you can change your destiny if you're yet on the road to hell. If you haven't received Jesus yet, the power is still present to save tonight. The Spirit of God is beseeching. The Word of God is here. You can be born again of that incorruptible seed, the Word of God which liveth and abideth forever. You can receive that class of life, everlasting life, and all the blessings of the glory forever with Christ. How could we make it more clear? Oh, it's not hard. It's easy to be saved. It's not difficult for you. The work has been done. It is finished. How precious are those words. We have dwelt on them much in these meetings. It's finished. It's done. You and I have nothing to do for salvation, but still, you're responsible to believe, to receive, or could it be that you would neglect? How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? The Lord began to preach that. It was preached by those that heard it. It's still preached. You don't have to just say, I won't take it. You can just neglect to take it. That's all it takes to stay lost. Just neglect. Now, 1 Corinthians 1, beginning with verse 18. 1:18 of 1 Corinthians, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. There we have it again. Oh, thank God there are many saved here. There are many who enjoy that power of God. We're saved by it. It is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise. I will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. for the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after foolishness. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Christ the power of God, Christ crucified, we preach this. Christ crucified. Oh yes, he bore our sins there in his own body on the tree. He was judged that we might not be judged. This is the believer here. This is for us. Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God too. Oh, what power there is tonight. Dear friend, it's available for you. Power to save. Power to save. But in closing, I just want to say again that you and I, too, shall be, not only for a few years, not only for a few centuries, but forever, a witness of the power of God to save or the power of God to judge. You know which kind of a witness you're going to be, which kind of a place you're going to stay in. Is it the power of God to save? Oh, one dearly hopes that that is true of you. I have no question for myself. How wonderful to rest in the power of God to save. But if not, friend, the word is faithful. You shall be a testimony to the power of God forever and ever. Receive Christ. Have salvation tonight.